with information on the latest developments in assistive technology and initiatives, from the studios of 2RPH in Sydney, RPH Australia brings you AbleQuest. Hello, I'm Barbara Sullivan. Our AbleQuest program today is about the power and health benefits of music through personalised playlists and singing. In hundreds of care facilities throughout the US and Canada, music and memory is helping thousands of individuals living with chronic cognitive and physical impairments to reconnect with family, friends and caregivers. This is a program of developing personalised playlists of music on iPod shuffles for people with dementia specifically, but more generally for people who are in pain, feeling depressed or isolated. It has been found to be very beneficial for people suffering from Parkinson's disease also. For a few years until December 2017, this remarkable program was available in Australia, exclusively delivered by the Arts Health Institute. Sadly, it has ceased here, but the concept remains as relevant as ever, and we hope that some organisation might step in and continue the program. Dr. Maggie Hirsch, who founded the Institute, was passionate about creating a place for the arts in healthcare, especially music. It is so simple, yet so effective. And it's not just personalised playlists that can have a huge health benefit, but singing itself and participating in a choir, regardless of ability. Marnie Roper asked Maggie Hirsch what prompted her to become involved in combining arts with healthcare.
The reason why I got involved with the Arts Health Institute really came about because of the work of Jean-Paul Bell when he was in the SMILE study, and I heard about this study through Jean-Paul. He's quite well known for having founded the Clown Doctor program in Australia back in 1996. Jean-Paul was doing something around improvisation and comedy with people in residential aged care in a very big study called the SMILE study, which was a big randomised controlled trial that ran in Sydney for 3 years. The inspiration came from the work of the SMILE study and the work of Jean-Paul Bell. He was the main comedian who was delivering humour and positive connection to people in residential aged care. And it was part of this very big 3-year trial. It's been published in the British Medical Journal online, and it showed significant decrease in agitation in the control group. And it also showed a dose effect that more creatively engaged people as a result of this comedian visiting every week. There was a significant decrease in depression and self-isolation with people who are the residents living in residential care. And I saw the transformation happening for myself. I took a film crew in and I produced a film that then went on ABC Compass program back in 2012. And from there, we had so many inquiries about the work, and that's really what launched us.
And I know you offer several programs, but in today's AbleQuest, we would like to focus on the Music and Memory program. Can you tell us the basis for this program?
Yes, so Music and Memory started in 2006 by a wonderful social worker, Dan Cohen. He went into a residential aged care service just as a volunteer and started to explore how could he bring personalised music, the music that was meaningful to an individual, to them using an iPod. He saw remarkable changes. You know, people who were non-communicative, dementia is very advanced, they were not able to speak anymore, suddenly started to speak, suddenly started to come alive. Like, it's transformative, it's extraordinary. The music that they were familiar with from their past somehow unlocked a lot of the dementia that this person was experiencing. And for a period of time after hearing their music, they were really lucid. They were able to answer questions, they were able to communicate and connect and remember, bring back memories that they weren't able to express before. So it was extraordinary. Dan then took a film crew and over 3 years ended up having a film made called Alive Inside, and it's actually available on Netflix. And it shows the transformation of Dan starting in one place and then how he tried to get more and more people to engage with bringing people's music to them. So I had only seen this very famous short video called Henry. And if anyone wanted to see it, they just Google Henry iPod. It's a short 6-minute film of Henry doing this remarkable transformation of being quite just bent over, leaning over the top of his wheelchair, not communicating with the world around him. They put Cab Calloway on the headphones and put the iPod on, and all of a sudden he's singing. He's alive, he's looking up, he's engaging with people around him, he's really happy, and it's palpable, the change. And when I saw that, I thought, wow, how can we bring this to Australia? So I contacted Dan in the US and caught up with him for dinner in New York. And I said, look, can we possibly bring this to Australia and provide the training for us? He wasn't that responsive to start with. He thought, I'm not really ready for this yet. I'm too busy with what's happening in the US. But as time went by and my persistence, he said, yes, why not? What we do is we provide a sustainable way now for people to introduce this approach of bringing people's personal music to them. So that if you think about it like medication, you have a time of day and a dose and you know what you're taking it and what for. Think of music a bit like that. You can walk around with an iPod, dish it out, give it to people on a regular basis. But also, importantly, when people are distressed or wanting to have some relief from what they might be experiencing, it could even be pain, it could be anxiety, it could be depression. Putting your music on and the music that's right for you for that mood at that time is really what that's all about. I've got a brother-in-law, sadly, who was diagnosed with dementia at the age of 54. He's now 62 and is very advanced with his dementia. When I first saw that video of Henry, I went to my brother-in-law, Stephen, and played Stairway to Heaven, and all the songs I knew he loved. Stephen was aphasic. He wasn't able to communicate. But when I put the headphones on, the tears ran down his face. He was just really captivated, and it was incredibly powerful. But the sadness for me was that I know when I left, that iPod would stay in the drawer and it wouldn't come out again until I would be back there again. This is what we want to avoid. We want to ensure that you set up a system and a process where people can have it on a regular basis, and it's just part of good quality care.
And what about individual carers in the home? For example, there's a lot of people looking after family members with dementia.
Yeah, you know, there's such a role to play at home. The evidence for people who are carers, looking after their wife or their husband or whoever it might be, it can be just giving them moments of joy throughout the day by having them listen to their music. It's almost like built-in respite. If we're talking about someone who's got dementia, sometimes carers can feel they've got someone following them around all the time or whatever the behaviours might be.
Yes.
This can suddenly change that dynamic. It can be quite magical.
Maggie, and if someone's setting up iPod for a family member or in one of the care homes, how do you work out the playlist?
You can start by asking a few questions. As a basic rule, these are some of the questions someone could ask, and that is, who's your favourite singer? Is there a song or music that makes you happy? Is there a song that can always make you dance? What music did you listen to in high school? What is the song that makes you cry? Do you remember the first live music that you saw? And what was the first piece of music you purchased with your own money? And if you had to pick three songs to put in a time capsule, what would they be?
Now, music doesn't just have this wonderful effect on people with cognitive problems. It works also for neurological conditions like Parkinson's, doesn't it? Can you tell us about that?
Yes, music is extraordinary. It's so powerful, yet so underestimated. If you play some music to someone, it creates a response that could be a physical response. It could be tapping. It could be, you know, rhythmic. It could be singing. It could be an emotional response where you could cry. It taps into all the areas of brain and the brain functions. Music, I'm told, and I'm no expert on this, but I'm told that it predates language. There's something about music that's very primal and very much links to some sort of core essence of being a human being. And it's universal. So music can transcend cultures and languages. So music seems to have an effect on the brain that we're still really puzzled by, and there's many, many researchers out there that are still exploring the mechanism behind it. But certainly we know that for a fact with degenerative diseases like Parkinson's disease and like dementia, that music has this ability to reach the brain in ways that you can't reach in other ways. And certainly with Parkinson's disease, we know that music can help moderate a lot of the involuntary tremors that people with Parkinson's have. And that's very debilitating, the tremors, because they don't have the confidence in their bodies to be able to even go out in public. As soon as you put iPod on and it's music someone's listening to and relating to, they can walk in tune with the rhythm of the music, and it seems to bypass the mechanism that creates the tremors. So it'll help moderate, if not alleviate, the tremors.
Now let's talk about Sing Out Loud.
Sing Out Loud is this magical choir, and it runs for people within residential aged care, but also in the community, so usually through community care providers. And the choirs can be intergenerational, so it can be linked up with a local school, and we call that Sing Out Loud Together, and that is magic. But the choir itself, with the adults only, is really beautiful. It's based on being very playful. It's not a stiff type of choir where people sing in harmonies. It's more about having fun. And really, when you think about the history of choirs, it's through choirs and singing together with people that you really build community. There's some interesting research, actually, that's been done about carers and people being cared for, that if they were to sing together, it evens out the status. And I think that's really important, particularly when you're looking at quality of life and you're looking at better ways of communicating and supporting and enabling someone who you're caring for. The other thing with the choirs is that it's a great way for volunteers to get engaged. Eventually, a choir might, in fact, perform, but they're not set up that way. They're set up really to build community and to reduce loneliness.
And who would be a typical participant, if there is such a thing as a typical participant?
Yeah, so the choirs, because they run in primarily in residential aged care, but also in community, they're people who are getting aged care services. So they're older. Some people may have complex health conditions, from a stroke to multiple issues around pain and so on, and mobility issues, or they might have some degree of cognitive impairment along the spectrum of dementia. So it's for everyone, really.
So it benefits different people in a completely different way.
Correct. I mean, we had one woman who joined the choir through her community care provider because she'd had a stroke. Now, she lost her ability to walk and she was getting her speech back. Singing, of course, is a fantastic vocal exercise to help improve your singing. There's a lot of therapeutic benefits with singing in many ways. But she was also a poet, and she'd written about 4,000 poems and has her own website. When she had the stroke, she stopped. She gave it up. She just didn't want to do it anymore, and she lost all motivation. As soon as she came to the choir and started to really bond with people and feel that she was progressing and improving in her own abilities, she decided to write a poem that then was turned into the lyrics of a song that our maestro who runs these choirs put to music. It was quite amazing.
And do you have to be able to sing well to participate?
No, you don't. But I believe everyone can sing. Some people just don't really want anyone to hear them for fear of being out of tune. But in a group, you can't really notice it. And it's really about having a go. But look, we've also had in residential care some people who are quite frail and elderly, because sometimes locked up in their own world, you know, they're in the end stages of their life, might be in water chairs, but we bring them down because if they're around other people singing, they benefit too. You just might not notice it as much. One woman in particular used to be a piano teacher, and we put her chair right next door to the pianist, and so she could listen and watch and just take it all in.
You have just been listening to AbleQuest, a program that looks at developments in assistive technology and initiatives. From Barbara Sullivan and Marnie Roper, thank you for listening, and goodbye till next program.